Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is 7:16 now. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined as we always are at this time by Dr. Fred Lopez, our friend, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Good morning, Dr. Fred.
Good morning, Tommy.
If you all have any questions about the coronavirus, you can text them to 87870, and I'll pass them along to Dr. Lopez. Doctor, the first thing on my mind is to mask or not to mask, because the president is looking at it. Governor Cuomo said he's suggesting people wear masks when they're out. The president said something about maybe a scarf if you don't have a mask, which brings us to the availability of PPE. So if you can, balance all of that between effectiveness of things like scarves, the availability of PPEs, should the public wear them when they go out, and what would that do to the needs of the medical community for the PPEs?
Yeah, so I think this is getting a lot of attention. It's expected that there's going to be an update to the recommendations about mask wearing by the CDC. And I think the anticipation is that it's very likely that they're going to recommend face coverings be routinely worn in public, in large part because it's clear that infected people sometimes don't demonstrate any symptoms and can be out there infecting people. And the feeling is that these face coverings would be able to prevent some transmission of infection in the community. So that's the anticipation. There's been no formal recommendation or update yet, but there's been a lot of discussion, including by the president, regarding face coverings or face masks. You then have to ask, well, what would these face coverings consist of? And they're not going to be the surgical masks that healthcare workers use. There are just not enough of those to go around.
The N95s, so, or whatever those are?
Well, the N95s definitely not, but I'm talking just about the blue surgical masks that
gotcha.
You see. Those also are in demand and should not be used routinely by the public. And so you're going to notice it's going to be cloth masks or face coverings that are likely to be recommended. Again, they haven't been formally recommended yet, but that's the anticipation. So maybe a bandana or, you know, I think this, some people have mentioned scarves, but something to cover the face in order to hopefully decrease the transmission of infection, particularly by those people who are not having any symptoms or about to develop symptoms and don't know they're infected, because that's where this type of intervention would be helpful. It is not going to substitute physical distancing, however. We need to continue to do that. This would be an adjunct to that. But I think we're going to hear more about that in the very near future regarding the face coverings, and I anticipate that those will be included in the updated recommendations.
All right, so let me compare and contrast two things as it relates to the masks. Times Square, you're walking down Times Square, there's nobody within 20 yards of you, and you got a mask on. You're in India, where the population is so dense, you can't do anything, even though they have been under a stay-at-home order for 21 days. I don't know how closely that's being adhered to, but the point I'm making is there a difference between the two in terms of how effective a mask would be? Because in one case, you're around a lot of people, in the other case, you're all alone. if that makes any sense.
You know, these recommendations would be for when you're leaving your home and going into public. I think we all like to feel like we're keeping at least our 6 feet, but I think we all know that there have probably been some circumstances where it's been hard to maintain that distance. And I think where that distance may not be able to be maintained is where I think a face covering would be helpful at decreasing the potential for transmission. No doubt about it, if you're not around anybody, you can't infect anybody. And so that's the major principle for the physical distancing. But this would be an adjunct to that in order to hopefully continue to decrease the transmission in the community and hopefully begin to make an impact on that curve.
All right, we'll take a break here. More when we come back. I know in a little bit that I've been out. I was saying earlier, the 6 foot distance is like, you know how they get the clown suits with the big circles that make them look fat? You'd have to take 2 yardsticks end to end and then extend them in a circle all the way around you. And I don't think I've seen that anywhere. I try to do it, but people walk up on you and everything else a few times that I've been out. 260-1870, it'd be better to text it to 87870 and find to ask you a question. I'll pass it along to Dr. Fred Lopez. It is time for traffic now on WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, spending some time with Dr. Fred Lopez, our friend, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. I presume, doctor, that the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation under healthdata.org is reliable, is it?
It's one of the modeling groups that experts follow for predicting what's going to happen a week from now, 2 weeks from now. So it is one of those modeling groups that is particularly well subscribed to.
Is there any indication yet that we are flattening the curve?
No. I think, as we talked about yesterday, there's a little bit of confounding with the numbers, particularly in Louisiana, because we have these large increases, which probably are a reflection of a buildup of older tests, which are just resulting and not really necessarily a reflection of infections that occurred more recently. So yesterday, for example, there were 2,726 new cases reported. The most that's been reported since March 9th, when the first case was reported in New Orleans, but a lot of it reflects tests that were done, for example, a week to 10 days ago. And those people were likely infected a week to 2 weeks earlier. So how helpful those numbers are in predicting where we are today and moving forward is a little harder to interpret. It would be nice to have a little quicker turnaround of those test results in order to help us know where we are in terms of the curve.
That doesn't necessarily mean that more people have it, correct me if I'm wrong, or that it's spreading. It just means we're trying to get a better handle on who has it and how it's spreading?
Well, we are, but a lot of it depends on how long we wait for these tests. And so if we're getting tests from people who have been infected for over 2 weeks because we've waited for 10 days or longer for the results, they're a little harder to interpret. And so it shifts the importance to other metrics, like, for example, the number of daily deaths per million people, these per capita interpretations, or the number of people who are hospitalized currently. Those metrics become a little more important when your new case detections may be detecting cases from several weeks ago.
Hydroxychloroquine, is there anything... how can I phrase this? Any more proof? Yeah. Are we learning that it could be more effective? And again, not in prevention, but in treatment of the symptoms for people that have, I guess it wouldn't just be COVID-19, but have it really bad or have the other underlying health conditions that would make it more serious for them?
So, you know, just a couple of days ago, there was another study from a Chinese group that looked like it was beneficial in a small group of 60-some-odd patients that were evaluated and received hydroxychloroquine. Earlier in March, Chinese researchers revealed no benefit from hydroxychloroquine. There's a French study that seemed to show, in last month, it seemed to show some benefit of adding azithromycin to hydroxychloroquine and bringing down the levels of the virus And yet that same group just a few days ago published the opposite effect. So I think what we're seeing is that there's no data yet that's reliably showing that hydroxychloroquine is going to be our treatment, our effective treatment moving into the future. I think it really begs what the scientists have been asking for, which is for a really well-designed randomized controlled trial comparing this drug and seeing if it really is, in a scientific way, effective. I think that's what we're all waiting for, because there's a lot of conflicting results from studies that are being published or being discussed publicly. So I think we're just in a wait-and-see mode. Let's study it, and let's determine what really works.
Any words you'd care to hear, leave us with for the weekend, Doctor?
No, keep doing what we're doing. Let's practice physical distancing. Let's wait and see what the updated recommendations are going to be from our federal agencies concerning face coverings. But keep the physical distancing. Stay home if you can, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Have a good weekend. Dr. Fred Lopez joining us, as he always does, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. We'll be joined by Zach Strief when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.